So 2 Corinthians 5:19, we're continuing our series called Flourish. Who feels like they're flourishing a little bit more in life than last week maybe? A few people have putting their hands up. That's fantastic. Good to flourish. Better than dying. So let's flourish. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Reconciliation, not a word we use all that much, I don't think, and probably not as much as we should. It's the recovery of relationships. And in our case with God, it's making an agreement. God has made an agreement that he has recovered our life through sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. He has committed us to the word of reconciliation. We can see from these verses, in fact, that verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In him, we are in the business of recovering relationships. The restoration of friendships, relationships, because God loves us. This is one of the greatest lessons of biblical psychology, to do what we can to recover what appears to be lost or broken down with another person or others. It is going to mess with our heads sometimes. Who knows what I'm talking about this morning? Who knows that relationships are great when they're going well and then, well, they're just not so good when they're not. Does anyone have a crappy relationship any time, you know? No, just one person. Come on, let's be honest. We understand this, don't we? We understand what's going on here this morning. And so, who knows, the Bible's full of wisdom for our lives. And so, God was in Christ and he's in us. We are not alienating ourselves. We're endearing and we are winning the affection of others because we're Christian. We're winning the affection of others because Christ's in us. And we forgive you when you have a bad day. Right? But for the most part, we want to do our best to get on with others. And I know this is not easy sometimes. So you cannot reconcile while you are attributing trespasses to a person. God isn't out to find fault. Let's put this up on the screen. God isn't out to find fault. He is out to find faith. Who knows, the first thought that comes into your head, yeah, but they did. Yeah, but. Proverbs 17:9 says this, love prospers when a fault is given. Did I say given? Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. But dwelling on it separates. And so there are some people in this world that like to focus on all the problems. I've had this on a couple of occasions where people have just said, Nigel, this needs to happen, that needs to happen. I've been a pastor for over 20 years now. People have sat me down and by the end of it, I've thought, I better go out and shoot myself right now. I'm depressed. I'm down. Some people like to find all the negative stuff rather than maybe is there one thing that would be good that could encourage someone? We've got to find the good. We've got to find the good in one another. And I admit, I'm the first to admit that I've done things wrong. And leading a church, you know, I've made mistakes. My staff know, you know, I make mistakes. But hey, we're serving the same God. We're going the same place. Let's help one another. New King James Version of Proverbs 17:9 says this, "He who covers a transgression seeks love." See, we can choose to live above all the mess in people's lives, and when we do, it is going to be far less complicated. God was in Christ reconciling, not reminding people of all the bad stuff that they've done. Who thinks that Jesus could have actually had written a lot of notes about all the bad stuff that you may have done? Anyone? Am I the only one? Mine's actually bigger than the Bible, you know. I don't know about yours. Just to give you an idea, my kids know, they always remind me. And we all have moments with our families, don't we? And inbreds, in-laws, extended families, and those close to us where relationships can go south real quick. Christmas time may not be that pleasant for you. And so we have to cultivate the Father's heart. Turn to your neighbour and say, cultivate the Father's heart. See, biblical psychology, reconciliation. If we're going to flourish, we've got to get this principle in our life. Who's agreeing with me this morning? Anyone think the Word of God is right here? We've got to keep falling in love. Or separate what was or is a deep friendship. It is the love of God that can transform. That's the Bible. Or we can choose to be a victim of our circumstances. And somewhere down the line of Christianity, we should have decided that this issue is going to have a real impact on our lives, and we're going to forgive. We're not going to hold on to. We let go of past hurts. We let go of bad behavior conducive to bad relationships. We let go of bad blood. We just decide, thank you, Lord, that you love me and I love this person because you love them. We take on board what Jesus says and let him get into our heart. We allow him to deal with areas that may be wounded. So I want to bring you to a story this morning. Come with me to Luke 15, please. Luke 15. Luke 15. Pastor Charlie, fantastic message last week. Well done. Luke 15, verse 11. Maybe it might be easier just to read part of the passage or some of it at least. So verse 11, then he said, this is a New King James Version, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And then it talks about the older brother, which we'll talk about hopefully if we get time this morning in a minute. So more than anything else, this story reveals the heart of the Father God for us. And Jesus is telling this to actually a Jewish audience, to try and get them, because they didn't really understand the love of God. They were religious people, but they weren't in relationship. And so he was trying to get them to understand the extent of the love of God. How extensive is the love of God, church? You can't measure it, right? I know fish can get real big, but we can exaggerate God's love, and there's more. And for so long, the people had lived under this legalistic law of Moses, and then here comes Jesus. And Jesus is blessing people. Jesus is healing people. Jesus is teaching people. He's praying for people. And the religious people are actually getting really upset. I can't do that on the Sabbath. You can't do that. What's going on? Because all their laws are now being changed, because the first thing Jesus does is love on his people. But they're angry about it. We shouldn't be angry when people love on one another. He doesn't deserve that. I know what she did. It just isn't fair at all. If anyone needs a blessing and a breakthrough, it's me. Why are they getting all the blessings? Why are they getting that word from God? What about me? Biblical psychology does not make sense to the natural man. Don't be like the older son. Don't have the attitude of the older son. The younger son gets everything and leaves. He spends everything that he has. Absolutely everything. He lives a wild life. I can imagine that the news spread throughout the land at that time. Have you heard about him? Word gets back to mum and dad. You heard what that boy's doing? You heard? Mum and dad feel pretty ashamed. All their neighbours are talking. Have you heard what he got up to? This is likely to have gone on for a number of years. A smart father doesn't lose his head in situations like this. A smart father stays in the house. A smart father prays. A smart father just longs and believes that things are going to change. A foolish father would go, well, that's it then. I'm kicking him out for good. He's done. Oh, I can't believe what he's done. That's it. Nothing. If he comes back, he goes to the pig house. Let time pass. Some people, they need to reach rock bottom before they start climbing back. And sometimes I think God sets it up that way. There's all sorts of issues and relational things going on in our worlds all the time. You know, and it's a hard thing to watch. It's not easy emotionally. We may even lose sleep over it. But let's let the thing play out. Here's the thing. You see, and this is the truth of the matter of what Jesus was trying to get through to the Pharisees. God never left the house. He is stopped there waiting and believing. It's the same with us. We wait on God. We stay in the house and we keep believing for the best for others. What do, church? We stay in the house and we believe for the best for others. Am I the only one that really believes this? This morning, you know, he was believing because as soon as the boy comes back, there's a fatted calf already prepared and ready. That means that regardless, he's just in case, I'm going to be ready. The immense enormity of the love of God in this situation is incredible, especially considering the culture. You see, it's far better to believe that it's going to work out. Come on, who's got a relationship that needs some help right now? Some of us? You don't want to put your hands up, I know, you're afraid. It's okay, I understand. Andrew and I got a few situations right now. And so this is hard stuff for us at the moment too. It's far better to believe it's going to work out than lose relationship completely. It's far better to believe that your kids are going to come back home than never. It's far better to believe that your spouse is going to get into the house of God and get the love of God on him than to believe that he's never going to do that. It's far better to believe that your friends are coming back. It's far better to believe that work situation's going to work out and that maybe it's your boss. Your boss can change. That kid's a dead loss. Don't say that. That friendship, it's not going to be recovered. Don't say it. Believe God is good. We sung about it, right? I can't sing it, so I won't, but I was thinking about it. Ooh, God is good. God's good. Believe he is able to bring your family back together again. See, if your faith's strong, at least it gives the rest hope. Believe that he is able to change what you can't see in your friends. It generally takes longer than you'd like it to. Oh my goodness, does it? And those of you who've been around a little while, you know, sometimes we think, oh, how long, much longer? But it's going to be okay. Keep pressing in. Keep believing for your husband. Keep believing for your wife. Keep believing for your spouse, your kids, your parents, your friends. We need help from the Holy Spirit so that we can live well. And recognize that God, through others, as we stay in faith, how important is the house of God? Stay. Don't leave. Stay. And put aside our own frustrations and feeling that tell us otherwise. The son says, I've got to get home. And for reconciliation to take place, two things must happen. Somebody has to say, I'm sorry. And another person has to say, I forgive you. It can be an immensely difficult thing to do, but we can learn so much from God through this story because the older son is full of pride. The older son is, what's all that noise? What's going on? Oh, he doesn't even know what a party is. He's a killjoy. He's done everything right, but actually, he hasn't got the love of God in his heart. He's just got, well, I've done this, 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 and this, and this. He's still under the law. He's still a broken man. It's not about, who's glad we don't live under that regime anymore? The boy says, the one that's taken all the money and gone, all his inheritance, everything. Cost his father a lot. Who knows? Listen to a message on the way home. Pastor Phil Pringle, Andrew and I sit in the car going, that's true. You never lose your kids. It's kind of depressing sometimes. Look, young boy says, I sinned. I blew it. He came to that conclusion, right? And all the boy did was come back to the house. Two things need to occur to repair a breach in a relationship: an apology and forgiveness. Cultivate a father's heart. Welcome them home. See, we've got to cultivate, and this is the second part of this story, cultivate an attitude of forgiveness. It's my second point. I think I've put it up there. So check this out with me. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I want you to note something. The forgiveness is there first. I say that one more time. The forgiveness is there first. The forgiveness is there. And from that environment, the apology came. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. We have to forgive people before they say sorry. An attitude of forgiveness is the key. The father is a long way off. The father is running towards him. He's so excited that his young son's coming home. Grabs him, kisses his neck like, doesn't matter what's happened, son. Doesn't matter. I'm just so grateful that you've come home. God's grace is completely wild. It doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense to us. Welcome home, son. Verse 22. Father places a robe around his son, which is a symbol of the righteousness of Christ. It's like, doesn't matter what's happened before, all's forgiven. You're home. Jesus lived the perfect life so he could give it as a gift to you and to me. Isn't it great that we've got a home to come to? Then he gives him a ring. I've actually got another ring which I'm going to take to Africa because that's my African ring family. That's my family ring, say I'm Liberian as well. You see, gives him a ring and his family and he's accepted, loved, and I'm well pleased with you. Only the love of Jesus can do all that. You become a family again. And then there's these sandals. And in the Old Testament, Moses was told to take his sandals off because it was holy ground. But in the New Testament, put your sandals on, boy. You're standing with Christ now. I've got a purpose for you. Doesn't matter what's happened in the past, you're going to be with me. You're going to walk the gospel with me. You've got a brand new day ahead of you. There's no waiting 3 months to see how it's going to turn out. It's immediate. It's immediate. Older son, I told you he was a bit sour, a bit of a killjoy. Let's look at this before we close. He's in the field, the older son, verse 25, And he came and drew near to the house, heard the music and the dancing, so he called one of his servants and asked, "What is all this going on?" Didn't actually say all that, but I said it. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But the son was what? Angry. He's angry. Let's not be self-righteous about our Christianity. Let's not think that we're better than somebody else. Let's not think that we deserve more than somebody else. If we're going to be a family, then we're all equal. We're all what? Does that ever change? Does that change when someone that we know is knowingly sinned but comes back to the house of God? They're what? They become immediately, they are family. Does God's love ever give up? Never. Never, 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 never. Should our love give up? Say it with me, never.
Never.
See, God is so generous. And undeserving people like you and I have so much favor from a grace-filled and a loving God. Righteousness is a free gift from heaven. The older brother, he's still beating the same drum all the way, you don't hear through the story. It doesn't come right. "This son of yours," he says. "This son of yours," he's basically saying he's not mine anymore. I've cut him off. Scary place to live. Come on, let's stand to our feet and we're going to watch some baptisms in a moment. Father, right here, right now, I thank you for your endless love for us. I thank you, Lord, that we can learn to reconcile one with another. And Lord, I pray that we'd be wise and do it as quickly as we possibly can. And I know that takes two. But Lord, I pray for every relationship. I pray for every relationship that needs reconciliation today. I pray the power and presence of God on it. I pray, Lord, that there would be forgiveness in our attitude first. That it doesn't matter. That we have the heart to say it doesn't matter. Because that's what you did for us, Lord. So why should we be better than you? Father, today, let the power of heaven come on our lives and our relationships in the mighty name of Jesus, because ultimately we want to live our best life and flourish. The people of God said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, church. We're going to walk out to our baptism service right now. They're ready for us. If you'd like some prayer, I'm just going to stay for a few minutes, but they're ready. But if you'd like some prayer in particular about a situation, happy to pray for you. Please pray for me this week as we go to the Ghana conference.